We're wrapping up our series that we've been in for a while on the kingdom of God, but we're going to keep living in the kingdom of God. Thank you. It's so important because Jesus says, it's core to his teaching, and in Matthew 6, he says, you need to understand the kingdom, you need to pursue the kingdom, you need to prioritize the kingdom, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all of these things will be added to you. I want to live under the blessings of the Lord. How about you? That's where I want to be. So it's important we understand the kingdom, and we've been studying an important chapter in Matthew chapter 13 where Jesus explains to us what the kingdom of God is like. And he does it through a series of stories or parables. Jesus' number one teaching technique was through stories and parables. And he says, well, the kingdom of God is like, and then he'll tell a story. And the kingdom of God is like, and he'll tell a story. And it's like a multifaceted diamond. You see it from one facet and go, oh, that's so beautiful. But then you come over and look at it another way and go, oh, it's even more beautiful. He comes to the last of the seven stories. That's where we are today. That's why we're in the conclusion, because it's the last of the seven stories. And he wraps it up with a punch. Literally in the last parable, he says, now it's important that you understand the kingdom. And the ultimate question is, are you in the kingdom or not? That's important. In the teachings of Jesus, he teaches about the kingdom of God. He invites us into the kingdom of God. And he says, I want you to be in the kingdom of God. But in the last story, he brings us to the seaside and he teaches us from the life of fishermen. I'm not much of a fisherman. Guys like Pastor Casey, he is a major fisherman. Major fishermen believe that because the earth is two-thirds covered with water, two-thirds of our time should be spent in fishing. That's how they do the math on that one. He brings us down to the seaside and he takes us out with fishermen. And Jesus was acquainted with fishermen. Many of his disciples were fishermen. And so when he tells these stories, people go, oh, I know what that's like. And I don't know if you've ever seen a fishing trawler come in that has a large drag net. That's a large net, not like a cast net that's small, a large drag net, and watch them dump the contents of that drag net out. If you've never seen it, it may be harder for you to understand this story because he says the kingdom is like a drag net. Verse 47. Again, the last story, seventh story. The kingdom of heaven, or the kingdom of God, is like a dragnet. That's a large net that's dragged behind the boat. It's cast into the sea, and watch what it does. It gathers some of every kind. Family of Hope, say with me, every kind. See, that includes my kind and every kind. Now get this, which is not like you. Very important to this teaching. It gathers in some of every kind, which when it was full, drew to the shore, and they sat down and they gathered the good into the vessel, but they threw the bad away. So the net goes down and it drags up from the depths of the sea. And when you drag to the depths of the sea, you get weird stuff. There is a Russian fisherman and he posts pictures of things he gets in his dragnet, and he puts them up on the internet. He has some notoriety because he says, look at the weird stuff that comes out of my fishing net. And I brought some of his pictures with us today. Look at that fish. Go back to that fish. That fish has horns, man. I could be a devil fish right there. I don't know about that. Pastor Case, you ever catch one of those? No. Look at this next one. This one's in the teeth contest. I wouldn't want to bring that. Next one, also in the teeth contest. Look at those chompers. Smaller teeth, but look at it. That's a little one. That's a little fish with a big bite right there. Look. Look at the size of this fish's eye. It reminds me, let's leave that up for a moment. Fishermen tend to exaggerate. They'll always go, Pastor Casey can tell a story like nobody else. He'll just go, So friends of a very exaggerated fisherman tried to limit his stories by tying his hands together. And he said, the eye was this big. That fish reminds me of that. Next slide. I don't even know what that is. But if I brought that in, I'm throwing it out immediately. This fish can not only fly, it has night vision. I think that was on aliens. I think that sucks on your face. I think. How many are going to eat one of those? So here, these are things that, and this fisherman shows pictures. I was going to call this message, the kingdom of God is full of weird people. But I didn't know how you would take that. And I went with more of the theme of the series we've been in, and it's uncommon, because Jesus calls us from common lives and says, I don't see you as a commoner, I see you as in the royal family. So we're calling the message, Uncommon People. And here's the big idea, that God calls you as an uncommon person into the kingdom of God, and we have to be very careful that once you come into the kingdom of God, we do not try to make you common again. You need to learn, and if you're taking some notes, first thing I want to say is you need to learn to be yourself. You can't be someone else in the kingdom of God. You need to be the best you that you can be, but you can't be someone else. Paul says it in Ephesians chapter 2, he says, God is shaping us and creating us into a masterpiece. You see that in your outline? God is forming us into a masterpiece. Have you ever seen a masterpiece work of art, an original masterpiece work of art? Maybe you've gone to the Met in New York, or Darla and I have been to the Louvre in Paris, and we saw, what's that girl that doesn't smile very much? Yeah, Mona Lisa, you know her. We saw the Mona Lisa. She's hard to see because she's behind so much bulletproof glass. That's really true. You're kind of like, ah. But you may have seen a reproduction of the Mona Lisa. And the thing about a reproduction is it's never worth as much as the original. Every copy is not worth the original masterpiece. And here's the truth. When you come out of God's dragnet, you may have a big eye. But have it to the glory of God. Don't let other people say, you need to have a small eye. Because we need you to be the best you can be. Because if you try to reproduce yourself as me or someone else, in the duplication process, you become less than the original. Because the masterpiece of who you are is where it's at. And Jesus says the kingdom is like a dragnet. It brings up all of these uncommon things. Because that's the way God wants it to be. Each person here, each person sitting around you, is a unique person. And we need you to be that unique person. Nobody else in this room is quite like you, and that's beautiful and wonderful and needed. You all have a place in God's family. P-L-A-C-E. Let me show you how this works. You all have a place. You all have a unique personality. And your personality, whether it's explosive extrovert or quiet introvert, logical or intuitive, combinations of all these things. When Darla and I were getting married, we did some testing, and they tested my chart and said, we have never scored a more extroverted person in this test. And Darla said, no surprise. But don't be me. You be you. If you are a quiet introvert, you're a masterpiece. And in trying to duplicate somebody else, you'll become less valuable than the original. Be the best person you can with the personality God has given to you. You all have unique life experiences. you all were born somewhere, you grew up in a socioeconomic area, some of you had great experiences, some not so great experiences, but you all have unique stories, life experiences. And God will not waste one of those life experiences in getting you into the right place in His kingdom. You have personality, you have life experiences, you all have abilities. Natural abilities, supernatural abilities, gifts and spiritual gifts that God gives to you that brings you to where you need to be. People that can carry a tune sometimes get to sing in the worship team. I'll tell you, if you don't have that ability, please don't sing in the worship team. And some of you have been to some of those churches. You have abilities, and you have a unique combination of abilities. Some of you are very detail-oriented. That's an ability. Some of you are just big picture. Don't bother me with the details. Your abilities. You all have a C, personality, life experience, ability. You all have a calling. There's a calling on your life. It's one of the things we want to teach you here, to quiet all of the outside noise so that you can hear the inner voice of the Holy Spirit calling you to the place He wants you to be. Your calling is absolutely as important as my calling. It's unique, and it's vital, and there's a calling on your life. And when you line up your personality with your life experience and your ability and your callings, you come to a place of enthusiasm where you literally love life. It may be hard work, but you love it because you are being the person you were created to be. And in this teaching, of all of the stuff that comes out of the dragnet, you may have a big eye, but have it well. Live your life well. Now, the second thing I want to just mention is so important that not only are you your outrageous self, but you give yourself to God. That's very much a part of this story. Yes, the net goes down and it brings up all kinds of weird and wonderful things from the depths of the ocean. But then it's important that whatever you are, big eye, little eye, big teeth, little teeth, no teeth, that you give yourself to God. Here's the teaching, and you cannot study Jesus and miss this. Jesus teaches that there is an accountability of your life before God. It's awesome. He teaches that someday there's going to be an accounting of your life before God. He wants everyone to be in the kingdom of God, but He clearly teaches not everybody makes it. And He teaches that in this final story as He's teaching about the kingdom of God. He says, listen, the net goes down. It brings up all kinds of weird and wonderful and uncommon things from the depths of the sea, and then they are sorted out. Watch this. Which is why it's so important you give yourself to God. Verse 49. So it will be at the end of the age, and we're not at the end of the age yet, but we're getting there. The angels, and if you're taking notes, note that. Who does the sorting out? The angels, the Lord. Let me just encourage you. You are not on the sorting committee. You see some of those creatures and go, that couldn't be in the kingdom of God. That fish with the horns, it looks like the I don't even think that one could make it. Could I just encourage you, brothers and sisters, resign from the sorting committee. You're on the fishing committee, not the sorting committee. The angels will come forth and they will separate, they'll sort the wicked from the just. And they'll cast the unjust into the furnace of fire where there will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. And if you're taking notes, this is virtually identical language that he uses earlier when he teaches about the wheat and the weeds. Verses 41 and 42, there's going to be a sorting out, and there's a place of heaven, and there's a place of gnashing of teeth. And to be without God, I believe, is hell. And he teaches that. And he says, now I'd like you to be in the family of God with all of your wonderful, weird stuff, but you need to give your life to God. Randy Alcorn writes a beautiful book that I recommend to you called Heaven. And in the book, he talks about a story of Ruth Ann Metzger, who was a beautiful singer on the West Coast, and she was booked to sing for a wedding, a very exotic wedding from a very wealthy businessman. And it was being held in downtown Seattle on the top floor of one of the penthouse tall buildings in a penthouse a space. And she arrived with her husband, and they went into the elevator. They went up to the top floor, and the elevator opened, and they come, and there's a maitre d', and he says, what is your name? And it's Mr. and Mrs. Metzger. And he looks down his list and says, I'm sorry, I don't have your name. She says, well, maybe you've misspelled it. Metzger. Could you look again? He said, I'm sorry, it's not here. And if you're not on the list, you don't get into the wedding. She says, I have to get into the wedding. I'm singing at the wedding. He said, could you please look one more time? He says, listen, many people are trying to get into this wedding, and we're here to do our job. He looked one more time. He said, your name is not here. I'm very sorry. He called over an assistant. He said, take these people to the service elevator. In a few moments, they were down in the garage next to the garbage bin. And her husband said, how did that happen? We were invited to the wedding, and we've ended up down here in the garbage. And she was thinking, and she said, you know, we did receive an invitation to the wedding, but I never RSVP'd. I never responded to the wedding. I thought because I was singing, I didn't have to do that. And Randy Alcorn teaches this important lesson. God invites the weird, the wonderful, the big-eyed. He invites all to his kingdom, but it's important that we RSVP. It's important that we respond to his invitation. And how do you do that? I'm so glad you asked. He tells us. Here's how to respond. Romans chapter 10, verse 9. If, and there's an if there, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, and if you believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you're in. You're in. You are saved. So you want to know how to get there? And the Bible talks about there's a book that has names in it. And when you confess Jesus Christ as Lord, when you believe in his death, his burial, and his resurrection, that it was for you on the cross, he writes your name in his book. That's good news. So when you step up to the pearly gates or whatever it is, the maitre d', maybe there's a maitre d' in heaven, I don't know. And he says, what's your name? And he looks in the book, he goes, you're in because you responded to the invitation. And even if you have a big eye, he says you're still in. Be yourself, but give yourself to God. This third thing I want to talk about is very important as well, because you have to give people the grace, please, please, brothers and sisters, the grace to be themselves. Do not try to make everyone like you are. This is the teaching, this dragnet teaching. It's about the weird and the wonderful and the uncommon and how God loves people from every kind, which includes your kind, right? But it also includes every kind. The big-eyed people. One of those fish had a big mouth. I don't know what that was about, but... So sometimes we say, okay, now you've prayed that prayer, and to fit in to the kingdom, you need to be like me. And we like the kingdom of God to be an aquarium. We like it to be manageable and be filled with just the kind of fish we like. You would fit good. Yes, you've got good color. You fit in well. Yes, wonderful. But then the dragnet brings up one of those eight tentacled things. And you go, I saw you in Aliens. You definitely need to lose some tentacles. And here's the message. No. That person with all of their unique beauty is needed in the kingdom of God, and we have to give them the grace to be who they are as the grace of God works on them, making them to be more like Christ is, but give them some space and some grace. I like when Paul says it like this. We're like a beautiful body, and there's feet, and there's hands, and there's eyes, and there's ears, and we can't be trying to make everybody like we are. We have to give the ability in the kingdom of God for these uncommon people that God is calling to come in, not to be like us. Paul says there are many parts, many different kinds of parts in the body. Verse 15, if the foot says, I'm not part of the body because I'm not a hand, I really wished I was a hand. If I was a hand, I could hold the microphone. If I was a hand, I wouldn't be in this shoe. I would be more seen. I wouldn't be in this sandal. I wouldn't be around all this dirt. No. The foot can't say, I'm not part of the body because I'm not a hand. Verse 16, the ear could try to say, well, I'm not part of the body because I'm not an eye. And I'm definitely not a big eye. Would that make it any less part of the body? And the answer is no. Let people be who God has created them to be. Celebrate them because we're actually strengthened in our diversity. The kingdom of God is not an aquarium, it's an ocean. And there are some mysteries in the kingdom, and there are some people in the kingdom, and you haven't even met a person like that yet. For many years, Darla and I served the Lord as evangelists, which means we traveled all the time to different places to tell people about Jesus. And different kinds of meetings, sometimes a very casual meeting, sometimes a very formal meeting. And we were doing a sort of a camp out in the wilderness, in a tabernacle. We were just jeans and sweatshirt kind of activity. And we had made that appointment to be there with that group and then was invited to another group, which was a banquet. And they said, we'd like you to come and speak at a banquet. And so I was just going, okay, jeans, sweatshirt, distance traveled. When does your event start? I said, I can't make it. I said, to get to where you are and then to be changed and be ready to speak in the way that your venue and your meeting is scheduled, I can't make it. And they said, but Scott, we've invited so many people that need to hear about Jesus, and we would really like you to be the one to talk about God's love and introduce people to Jesus, and I really love doing that. So I said, I'll do my best. Well, I'll do my best to get there. So we finished this very remote meeting, jeans and sweatshirt, and drove very quickly within the speed limit, but very quickly to the next venue. We got there a little late. We knew that would happen, and it was inclement weather, and I pulled up to the door. I let Darla get out so she didn't have to go through the inclement weather. I said, listen, I'll park. I'll get our suitcases. I'll get them in there. We'll get changed for the banquet, and I think we can at least make the speaking part. And so she walked in the door by herself wearing jeans and a sweatshirt, and this woman met her, and the woman was all dressed up, you know, like all. She had on a beautiful dress, but a terrible attitude. And she stepped up to my wife and said, I'm glad you dressed for the occasion. That's terrible. She didn't know, like, this was in a church building. She didn't know if this was someone coming in looking for the love of God, looking to hear about Christ. She didn't know any context. So I get in, and I get our suitcases in, and we're changing and getting ready. And Darla's telling me this story. And I said, I'm so sorry that someone, like, did that to you. And obviously, there needs to be some work here. Because sometimes when people with big eyes come in, we want them to have small eyes. We say, my, we're glad you're at church, but your eyes way too big for this church. What you need to do to fit in is to shrink your eye down. like the rest of us small-eyed people and be like us. And Jesus is saying, no. The kingdom of God is filled with people you can't imagine. Some of them wear jeans and sweatshirts, and some of them don't look like they fit in. And there's my wife, and she's telling me this story. And then we walk out, and oh, God is so good. He's got a sense of humor, because there was a lady that was assigned. This was a formal affair, and it was assigned to pin the corsage on the speaker's wife. And it was, sister, looks nice, stinks inside, lady. And she's so embarrassed now. She's like, oh, I'm so sorry. I didn't know who you were. Well, who she was a child of God. She may have come from the bottom of the ocean, but God still loves her. And when people come in and they're not like us, they don't look like you, they don't look like me, we should say hallelujah. So glad you're here. Welcome. I love your eye. I don't think I've ever seen an eye quite that big before. Because the kingdom of God is filled with people who are not like you. And God loves them. And so here's the concluding thought. It would be that we need to reach everybody. And that's here. The kingdom of God is made up of every kind of person. Didn't he say that? I'm going to gather every sum of every kind, and that includes your kind and kinds that are not like you. And are we on the sorting committee? No. We're on the fishing committee. We let God clean them. We catch them. He cleans them. He sorts them out. But he wants us to be open to all. I love when Peter captures this for us. And he says that the Lord is slow in doing what he promised, which is to have that final day of accountability. It hasn't arrived yet. The way some people understand slowness, God has literally delayed the final day because he doesn't want anyone to be lost. No one. But he wants all people to change their hearts and lives. He wants all of them. The ones with big eyes and eight tentacles. The ones that are at the bottom of the ocean that nobody knows about, but he knows are there. He wants the dragnet of the kingdom to go down. And he wants us to be part of bringing them into the message of Christ and into the love of God and giving them a space and a grace to be who they are and watch them become who God wants them to be. We used to sing a little song. I don't know who wrote it, but I'd like to meet them someday. Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world, red and yellow, black and white. What was the writer saying? Saying, listen, there are people in God's family who are not like you. And they are, what's he say? Precious in his sight. I grew up in a beautiful little country church. One day, a lady named Shirley came in, and she did not fit the mold. She had history. She was a mess. And I'm so glad that somebody didn't meet Shirley at the door of our little country church and say, your eye is too big. Back to the ocean for you. I'm going to do some sorting out right here at the door of the church. They threw their arms around her and said, welcome. We love you. We're glad you're here. And the embrace brought her into the family of God. She chose to confess Christ. That's how you know you're in. She confessed Christ. And she became a beautiful follower of Jesus Christ. And I'm so glad that she was in the family of God, because she's the one that talked to my grandfather and brought my grandfather into the kingdom of God. Because my grandfather was a miner. He was a tough guy. Religious people didn't impress him. But surely the former prostitute, the non-traditional, from the bottom of the ocean, she could speak to him. And she said, Keith, let me talk to you about the kingdom of God. His kingdom loves people that comes out of the depths of the mines with all of your scars and all of your messes. He loves to take these people into his kingdom, and he loves to transform them to become like Jesus. And Keith, wouldn't you want to accept Jesus today? And he said, yes. I think that's why God wants to get some of these people. They're different than us. God help us if we come to church and we look around and say, what a great church, everybody's like me. God help us. We want difference. We want the dragnet. We want to be open. Not small, but open. Because the world needs the kingdom of God, and his choice is to work through people like you and like me who will go into the world and fish for unusual people and love them and bring them. And let's promise one another, when they come, we're going to love them. When they come, we're going to welcome them. When we're going to come, we're going to say, hallelujah, we're glad you're here with your big eye. Welcome. Yeah, let's affirm that. I think we can affirm that. Go ahead, we can affirm that. We can. We can affirm that. So let's close our eyes for a moment. Let's open our hearts. I don't know what your story is, but God does. I do know this, that God wants you to be in his kingdom. He's given the invitation. He just needs you to RSVP. He needs you to say, yeah, put my name in your book. And if you're here today and you've been far away from Jesus, far away from his kingdom, maybe you feel like you don't fit in, and maybe that's been our fault and we apologize for that. But you've come today and you've heard about the love of Jesus, who loves the uncommon. Some would say the weird. And we say welcome. And we'd like to pray with you this prayer of confession that brings you into the kingdom of God. And you'd say, Scott, I want to pray with you that kind of prayer. I'm not going to embarrass you, but I just want to include you. And so I'm going to ask you to do two things. One is to put your hand up high enough for me to see it and hold it up there until we make eye contact. Nobody else looking around, please. No one else. But that's me today. High enough for me to see it. Thank you, and God bless you. Let me see your eyes, dear. God bless you. I'm glad you're here. We're going to pray in a moment together. Thanks. We're going to pray together in a moment in Jesus' name. I want to just welcome you. Who else would you say, that's me. I want to pray that kind of prayer with you today, Scott. I don't want to be far away from God's kingdom. I want to be in his kingdom. If we didn't make eye contact yet, I just want to look for you because I don't want to miss you. You matter to God and you matter to us. And even if you didn't raise your hand, we're going to stand and we're going to pray a prayer together. Let's all stand, please. Can we do that? Our prayer team is going to come immediately and we're going to pray this prayer. Everyone, please, praying this prayer out loud, good, strong voice. Dear Heavenly Father, I come to you in Jesus' name. I repent of my sins and I leave them behind. Today I receive Jesus Christ as my Savior and as my Lord. I receive your love, your grace, your mercy, your forgiveness. Thank you for loving me. Now help me to follow Jesus every day of my life. This I pray in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, 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 amen. That's a good prayer, amen. We can affirm that prayer. It's a good prayer. So if you pray that prayer, we want to help you. You don't have to join this church, but it's a good one. But we'd like to get this into your hand just as a follow. Now what? We want to explain some things, how to grow now. This doesn't seal, it seals the deal for your name in heaven, but it starts the conversation with you and God. And that's an important conversation to have. So now what? We want to get this into your hand. In a moment, come and talk to one of our prayer team here and say, hey, I prayed with Scott. They'll pray with you. You can get that booklet in the VIP room as well if you stop by there. The prayer team is also here to pray for whatever needs you have, whatever the Holy Spirit is saying to you about your life today, and to pray in agreement, because the Bible says one can pray, but two can pray, and Jesus says, I will be there in the midst of you. There's a miraculous event that takes place when agreement prayer takes form, and we're going to be praying an agreement prayer with you. Whatever the Holy Spirit has for you, we want to pray for you and with you. While the prayer team is ministering to people in prayer and the gifts of the Holy Spirit are flowing at the altar, if you would like to receive communion, Holy Communion, you're welcome. You don't have to be a member of this church, just a friend of Jesus. And there's a communion station at the left-hand side and the right-hand side where you come and you take the bread and you take from the cup and you remember Jesus. You remember that he died on the cross for your life, that he went into the tomb and he didn't stay dead. He rose on the third day to be the best friend you've ever had. And he's present with you as you receive that communion. If you've been a guest here today, thank you. Thanks for coming. Come again. You're just finding out what kind of place this is. This is the kind of place that welcomes people with big eyes. From the depths. That's the kind of place we are. And if that's the kind of person you'd like to be and join with, then we welcome you. If you are a guest, though, and you've never stopped by the VIP room, you are our VIP, and we'd like to welcome you to stop by. It's over on your left-hand side at the back, and just meet you and give you some gifts. I'm gonna pray, just a blessing to be with our prayer team, to be with the communion, to be with you this week. And then you're welcome to come forward for prayer, come forward for communion, stay in worship with the worship team if you'd like, go with the grace of God. But may you walk with Jesus every day this week, and may the Lord bring you back. And may you keep going, and may you keep, just help us to reach some of these wonderful, weird, uncommon people. Bring them in here, because they don't scare us, and they don't scare God, and we love them. So I bless you now, in the strong, mighty, and majestic name of Jesus. And in Jesus' name, you are very, very blessed. May you follow Jesus, and be filled with the heart of Jesus, and see the world the way that Jesus does. He says, lift up your eyes. See the harvest field. It's all around you. And it's filled with uncommon people, people you may not think about, but he thinks about. And he gives an invitation. And all they have to do is respond. And that's what we want to do. We want to give the invitation for people to respond, to be part of the kingdom of God. Help us to grow in the kingdom, Lord, even though we bring this series to a conclusion. Help us to keep growing in the kingdom of God. Bless the communion. Bless the prayer team. Let the gifts of the Holy Spirit, unusual faith be released, unusual miraculous power of the Holy Spirit to take place at these altars. We pray, God, that you will do what you desire to do, and we give you permission, Lord, to do that. In the strong and the mighty and the majestic name of Jesus, we pray. And everybody says, amen. Hey, God bless you guys. We love you so much. Grace and peace to all of you. Come forward for prayer. Come forward for communion. And worship team, please.